Upfront, inside Atlanta's entertainment industry, is brought to you by Atlanta's Jazz Station, 91.9 FM WCLK.
Coming up on this week's show, Upfront talks to media maven Rashana Ali about her new daytime talk show, The Sister Circle, which premieres this Monday, September 18th on TV One. The radio personality and philanthropist also opens up about being a part of this weekend's Pretty Girls Sweatfest and much more. Grammy-nominated singer and R&B original superwoman, Karen White, also stopped by the studio to chat about her return to the music industry and her new film project, Gale and the Storm. White also talks candidly about some of the valuable lessons she's learned along the way and embracing change. We'll also be playing new music from White, along with Boney James and throwback sounds from Amy Winehouse. But first, here's this week's casting buzz and entertainment news with Reva Blue.
All right, Mr. DeMille, I'm ready for my close-up.
Central Casting is looking for thin-framed male or female actors between the ages of 15 to 17 to portray a cancer patient for the project The Resident. He or she can also be an actual cancer patient that is losing hair or is already bald. If this is you, please submit your name, number, city location, sizes, and pictures to resident@centralcasting.com with "Cancer Sucks" in the subject line of the email. Central Casting is also looking for men with slender builds to portray soldiers for a very exciting scene in the feature film Mary Lou. The actors should be between the ages of 18 to 40, clean shaven with short military hair and a waist size no larger than 36. The actors must also be willing to cut their hair as well. Filming will take place in the Atlanta, Riverdale area on Tuesday, October 10th and Wednesday, October 11th. A mandatory fitting will be required in Fayetteville beginning Monday, September 25th to Friday, September 29th. If this is you, please submit a headshot along with your name, phone number, height, weight, and clothing size to MaryLou@centralcasting.com with "October Soldier" in the subject line of the email. In other related entertainment news, don't forget to tune in to the 69th Emmy Awards tomorrow night beginning at 8 p.m. on CBS. Nominees include FX comedy series Atlanta, ABC's Blackish, and NBC's This Is Us. Other nominees include HBO's The Immortal Life of Henrietta Lacks and Logo's RuPaul's Drag Race. The awards ceremony will air live from the Microsoft Theater in Los Angeles, California, and is hosted by Stephen Colbert. That's this week's Casting Buzz and Entertainment News. I'm Reva Blue.
Support for WCLK programming comes from Marietta's new Theater in the Square, presenting Tennessee Williams, The Glass Menagerie, August 31st through October 1st. Amanda Wingfield lives in poverty in a St. Louis apartment with her son Tom and her daughter Laura. Tom is driven nearly to distraction by his mother's nagging and seeks escape in alcohol and the world of the movies. The show is directed by Emil Thomas. Ticket information is available at 770-426-4800 or online at theaterinthesquare.net.
Well, sometimes I go out by myself and I look across the water and I think of all the things what you're doing, and in my head I paint a picture. Well, since I come home, well, my body's been a mess, and I miss your tender hip and the way you like the jaggers. Won't you come on over? Stop making a fool out of me. Why don't you come on over, Valerie?
Omar Dorsey, a.k.a. Hollywood of Queen Sugar, and you're listening to Upfront with Ray Cornelius.
My first guest is a beloved radio personality, TV host, philanthropist, and entrepreneur. I'm talking about none other than Rashana Ali. The native Atlantan is expanding her media empire as the co-host of a new talk show on TV One titled The Sister Circle. The daytime series premieres this coming Monday, September 18th at 9 a.m., and is part of the network's new lineup of fall programming. Ali stopped by the Upfront Studios to chat about her new gig and being a part of Atlanta's burgeoning TV and film industry.
Well, good morning, Rashana Ali, and welcome to Upfront. How are you?
I'm doing very well. How are you?
I'm great. You know, this is, I gotta say this. I've watched you over these last 20 years.
Oh,
I kind of feel like...
It's not been 20 years, has it?
Well, I've been here 20 years. Right. I know you've been here a little bit longer.
Well, I'm from here, so I only went away to college.
But it's like, I don't know, it's kind of like that, and I say this about some of my guests, and my listeners have heard this before, but I really do mean this. It's almost like watching a family member sort of blossom.
Wow.
And it's like, yeah, you know, she's been kind of doing her thing, and, you know, it's kind of like, you know, she started on radio, and now she's doing TV, and now she's doing movies, and it's like, our girl is doing everything. So congratulations on all of your success. It's just been amazing to see you expand and grow.
Thank you. You know, and I always say, you know, your story has less to do with you and more to do with other people witnessing it, because I've had a lot of bumps in the road, but had I given up, I wouldn't be sitting here in front of you. And knowing that the path and the journey that each of us has does not look like anyone else's. And I think we get caught up in why am I not here yet? And why don't I have these things yet? When it's your time, it's going to be your time. And there's different facets of time too, because when I was working at LaFace Records, that was my time then. And then I was Left Eye's assistant, then worked at LaFace Records, and then the radio, and then television opportunities, and now with Sister Circle Live. So all of these are different facets of time in your life and different purposes that you fulfill. But I'm really, really honored to serve a really amazing God so that he can use me for the greater good. And I know I'm in this position because of that.
Yeah. So Monday is the big day.
Monday's the big day.
It's the big launch of Sister Circle, which is a brand new talk show on TV One, one of our favorite networks. And this is all a part of some of the new programming that TV One is rolling out. Yeah. This will be a part of the talk programming that will air right after Roland Martin's News One Now. So how does that feel? How did you even get involved in that project?
Oh, wow. So what an amazing lead-in with Roland Martin. I mean, we all know him, and he does outstanding work. So I had been praying about, I was like, man, I really want to be on a talk show. Like, I wrote it down.
And this isn't your first time either.
This is my, well, on a platform like this.
Like that. But yeah, you've done some talk
shows
here.
I used to host a show called Atlanta and Company Afternoon. So it was similar. We had some entertainment in there, but it was more advertisement based. So you come on, you pay to play, that type of thing.
Okay.
But they would add in entertainment. So I got a little experience there. But I had started... I put out a teaser. This is the story. I put out a teaser about my podcast, which is called The Kusor Podcast, where I interview men and women in Greek letter organizations about their lives and trials and triumphs. And it was just like God was saying, I need you to do something that you have complete control of. Because as we know, working with these different networks and corporations, they can say, as they've done before, Rashawn, thank you so much for your time.
Yeah.
We appreciate the last 7 years you did here at this radio station. Thanks.
We're going in a different direction.
So I've heard that like three times. So I've been the person that has received that news. And I got tired of being, you know, never being the bride per se, and always like the bridesmaids. There's nothing wrong with being the bridesmaids. I'm just using this so people can kind of get a mental picture of what it's been like to not be the person, not be the person on the network that they choose. Like, you're our girl. You know, I was never that person. And so I was like, man, when is it going to happen for me? So the same day, same week I pushed out the teaser about my podcast was the same week that I got a call from Helen Swenson, who is the showrunner, executive producer of Sister Circle. She said, hey, I'm here. We're auditioning for a new show. I heard about you through 11 Alive, you know, would you be interested? And I'm like, yeah, but you know, we're all in entertainment. We get all this type of stuff all the time. Show ideas. I'm like, yeah, okay. You know, and you just roll with it. And so we had the auditions, and then they boiled it down to four women and along with DJ Q and Q Latham. And here we are. We shot the pilot a year ago, and literally less than a year later, we're on TV One and 12 Tegna stations. Now, Tegna owns Sister Circle.
Right.
But TV One said, hey, we love this. We think it's going to work well on our network. And so they're a cable partner in this. Yeah. Okay. So
I was going to ask you, how does it feel to be, because there seems to be this new renaissance of African-American programming.
Yes.
We now see more television shows that are focused on the African-American experience
of
than
course.
Ever before. I mean, you've got
yep.
Underground, you've got Greenleaf, Queen Sugar, all these amazing shows. How does it feel to be on television doing this type of TV at this moment right now?
I think it's imperative. We need a voice. We need a voice from a black woman, not only not just the black woman that's on the panel that happens to be a black woman, so she can give the black perspective, like we all talking about, like, you know, how we feel about certain topics. And of course, we're going to do mainstream stuff, you know, like today in our rehearsal. Well, yesterday in our yeah. rehearsal, we were doing the topics of the day, from commendating Angela Rye to Serena and her baby. You know, so we talk about those things, but we also have a segment called Full Circle where we get to talk about colorism. We get to talk about what it means to be labeled an angry black woman. So things that you would never see on a talk show format, we get to talk about, and which I'm really excited about that portion of the show in particular, because you never hear our voices heard. And it's for black women and a male that can give you all types of perspectives. It's going to resonate with somebody at home,
yeah.
which I'm like, that is kind of dope. That's interesting. So I think it's very important that we have our voices heard in this social climate, political climate, racially filled with tension climate, you know, all of that. We need to have our voices heard and not just be that one voice that can speak to everybody that's African-American, because that happens a lot. It's like, she don't speak for me, you know, when they're on a talk show and they're by themselves. At least they'll get
right.
you get four opportunities for right. somebody to speak your voice.
Right.
You
yeah.
know. So
when you were coming in, you were kind of looking around and you were just like, wow, this is kind of cool. It kind of took you yes. back home a little bit.
Yes.
You got your start actually at a college radio station,
sure
Florida
did.
A&M University.
Yes.
What that type of education, what did that do for you, and how did that help you get to this point? Because I think it's so important sometimes for people to hear, like you said, about someone's journey. So let's talk about that.
Oh, man. I walked in here and I'm like, wow, it's nothing like college radio, because that's where I developed my love for radio. I absolutely love radio. It gave me my foundation. It gave me everything that I needed to be where I am today. WAMF 90.5 on the highest of Seven Hills in Tallahassee, Florida. It's your girl, DJ Ray Ray. I was DJ Ray Ray then. So glad I changed that. But Florida A&M gave me everything that I need. It equipped me with everything I needed to be knowing who I am. It gave me an appreciation for every type of black person, from socioeconomic backgrounds, from all walks of life, mm. down the line, from someone who was in need to upper middle class to upper class, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And everywhere in between. And then you'd have a guy from Miami and his orange Reeboks, you know, got spinners on his car, you know, all of that. But he's going to the same class that you're going to, and he might have the best grade in the class. I learned to be able to embrace all of those things and what it meant to be a black woman. And I would not trade that experience for anything. It was the four best years of my entire life. And you don't realize it when you're in it. Because I know a lot of these Clark Atlanta students are like, I can't wait to get up out of here. I'm going to start my life, baby, on the other side of this 4 years.
Yeah.
It's real life. Okay? It's real life. And I just wouldn't trade it for the world. I just feel like every person, if you have the opportunity to have an HBCU experience, you have to take it.
Yeah.
You have to take it.
Wow.
Yeah.
Now, you mentioned earlier in the segment that you were Left Eye's assistant.
I was.
So this is almost kind of like your second time around, I would say, in this whole Atlanta being, you know, the spotlight being on Atlanta in terms of television, film, and music. For a long time, it was primarily music.
Yeah.
But now Atlanta is being seen as a front runner
yeah.
for television and film. So what does it feel to be a part of this new renaissance,
yeah.
If you will.
Yeah, it feels a little different now because I'm originally from Atlanta. Like, it says that on my birth certificate. People are like, really? You're from here? I was born at Crawford Long, which is now Emory Midtown.
Yeah.
Had both of my children there. So to see even Atlantic Station, like, with buildings, I'm like, this used to be the woods. What is this? So to see it from where it has come, you know, L.A., Reed, and Babyface, they set the precedent. They set, along with Dallas Austin and Jermaine Dupri, like, they set up the music scene here in Atlanta. So to see it where it came from to where it is now is like, it's jaw-dropping to kind of, you know, even to still be in the space in a sense. But they were the forefront, they were the front runners of music and really good music at the time. Can't say the music is the same. We all know it's not the same.
Right.
But we definitely led the way in that manner. So to see it come full circle now with music, television, film, art, everything that makes Atlanta what it is, it's nice to be a part of it on both sides. I'm 20 years older than that now, but yeah. it's good to see it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now today is a pretty big special day for it you is. As well, because your organization, Sporty Girls, is partnering with Pretty Girl Sweat. I cannot say that fast. Really? It comes out like blah, 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 but Pretty Girl Sweat, and they're honoring you this year. So let's talk about today's event.
Yeah. Well, Aisha DeVore Branch is an amazing woman. Her vision for Pretty Girl Sweat has just been something that I have just wanted to be around since I first met her. And the things that she has done, not only in Atlanta, but across the United States with her different clubs on different college campuses, and to really focus on childhood obesity and making sure that we're getting to the core. Let's talk to these children. Let's talk to these young people. So if they change the way they are approaching health, then their families will then change. So when I first met her, I was like, first of all, she's drop dead gorgeous. And then secondly, she's my soul roar of Alpha Kappa Alpha Sorority Incorporated. and third of all, and probably most important, she's doing things in the community that need to be done. And so when she came up with this amazing idea, the Pretty Girls Sweat Fest, I'm like, yeah, I'm there. What date? What do we need to do? And so to serve as host for this amazing event is something that I wanted to do. And then she was like, hey, let's make sure that some of the proceeds are going to your organization, Sporty Girls, which I've founded in 2006. And our mission is to encourage minority girls to participate in non-traditional sports while increasing their lifestyle skills. So that's swimming, soccer, tennis, golf, and lacrosse. So I swam as a college student, swam my entire life. And so it only made sense for us to work together. And so not just me, but other organizations are being honored and other people are being honored. I'm just a small piece in a really, really beautiful event that's happening later today.
All right. Well, Rashana, thank you so much for taking
you're
time
welcome.
Out of your schedule. We're so excited about today, as well as Monday's premiere of Sister Circle.
Yes.
It is taking place on, like we said, on Monday at 9 a.m., following TV1's popular news program, News One Now, with Roland Martin. And then we'll follow up with Sister Circle, that's going to air with Rashana and the rest of the gang. So
yeah, let me shout them out. Selena Johnson, Quad Webb Lunsford, Kiana Dancy, and Quentin Latham,
that's
and
right.
our amazing production staff. So yeah, I can't. This is not about me. This is about the team. And we're hoping that you will tune in and support us.
All right. And for more information about Pretty Girl Sweat, you can check that out at WCLK.com. Upfront listeners, you can now follow us on Instagram under Upfront the Show. We'll have exclusive photos, giveaways, and much more. That's Upfront the Show on Instagram.
Support for WCLK programming comes from the Fox Theater, presenting Aretha Franklin in concert on Friday, October 13th at 8 p.m. Aretha Franklin will be performing for one night only and will sing songs from her repertoire of pop, soul, jazz, rock, blues, and gospel. Ticket information is available at the Fox Theater ticket office or online at foxtheater.org.
I'm Niecy Nash.
I'm Karuchi Tran.
And you are listening to Upfront with Ray Cornelius.
Look deep inside yourself. What have you become? You remember who you are. You are a star. Exactly as you are.
just heard a snippet of new music from Grammy-nominated singer-songwriter Karen White. The iconic music diva is back with a new sound and a new film titled Gale and the Storm. The project is loosely based on White's career and chronicles the life of a funk singer who makes a musical comeback after abruptly leaving the industry. White also opens up about some of the lessons she's learned throughout her career and much more. Be prepared to be inspired and empowered by our exclusive interview.
Well, good morning, Karen White, and welcome to Upfront. How are you?
I am awesome.
Yeah?
Yeah,
I'm grinning from ear to ear because and we were talking beforehand. You actually were one of my first guests for my website, raycornelius.com, that I started 5 years ago.
Wow.
Yeah. And we had a very long conversation because I was a huge fan. I'm still a huge fan. But I've been a fan. Oh, my God. Since 1988 when you dropped your first album.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I'm like, huh? Really? But I want to congratulate you. Five years ago. Don't you love this business?
I do.
Seeing where, you know, taking control of your career, yeah. Starting. Did you have your own show? Was it
Blog
Talk?
Well, it was just a website, entertainment news
good.
Website.
Yes.
And then now we started the radio show. We're going into the second season. So you're now on the radio show.
See, isn't that great?
Yeah. Oh.
You can do it, huh?
Now, before we get into your film, let's talk about your music career, because you actually started Jeff Lorber, who is one of jazz's big names. So you kind of got your start in jazz music. So let's talk a little bit about that if we can.
This is really, you know, a funny conversation because Jeff Lorber, okay, I didn't want to do the audition. I thought, okay, I sing pop and R&B and so someone called me and said, you know, Jeff is looking for a singer. Warner Brothers, he was on that label. They were looking for an artist to pretty much do like Quincy Jones had did with Patty Austin and James Ingram.
Okay.
Feature them. And then if the songs did well, then they would have their own careers from there.
Right.
So I'm like, I don't sing jazz, you know, and so crazy. So I went anyway. And he wasn't trying to do jazz. He was trying to expand his brand. We didn't call it brand back then, but commercialism into more of R&B pop. So that was how I started. And Jeff Lorber, we toured and I learned so much. The band, we had Dave Koz was our sax player. And this show was on fleek. We were just, because Dave is like wild, you know, with the
He's
sax.
Like a little firecracker.
And I'm a firecracker everywhere. So Jeff was probably like, what the hell is going on with my show here? But no, it was dope. It was a great, you know, and I'm forever in debt to Jeff. And, you know, from there, Warner Brothers, actually Benny Medina, he signed me at Warner Brothers and the song went top 10. And that was the start of my career.
Labor of Love? Was that the
Facts of
facts
Love.
Facts of Love.
These are the facts of love. Dum, dum, dum. Yeah. It was cute. My voice was like super high back then. So I listen, I go like, happened?
And here we are some decades later.
Yeah.
And you've got a new project.
Oh, yeah.
Gale and the Storm. So this is sort of a transition from music into television and films. You've started your own entertainment company. It's Karen White. Karen White Enterprises, which now encompasses your music as well as your television and film career. But you've got this amazing project called Gale and the Storm, which is kind of loosely based. I was doing a little bit of reading. It's kind of loosely based on your career. Let's talk about that.
Definitely. Well, Gale and the Storm is about a singer who walks away from the entertainment industry at the height of her career, which, like me, and she gets, you know, she feels betrayed by all involved, her boyfriend, who was also the band leader, her record company, and her band. And so 7 years later, she meets this once former successful music producer who is really Jay King, my manager, his character. She meets him and he tries to pull her out of the fire and get her back to sing again, but she's not having it. And together it's a story of two people that are connected to each other. And it's not until they get into the fight of their lives that they recognize how great they are together and for each other. So it's a story that's loosely based on my life, as well as my manager, Jay King, who was the founder of Club Nouveau. And he was the first person, I think like back in 86, he sold like, you know, 3 million records independently, like the first person And so it's sort of his story. And he got blackballed from the entertainment industry. He had a big ego. And so it's this character, Hannibal, played by Derek Muhammad, is pretty colorful. And these, and I'm very centric as Gail. Some of my influences in this movie were Bette Davis. You've heard of her. Mm-hmm. She is Miles Davis's, I guess he was married to her, and she's a funkster. And the music takes on this really funky, edgy, soulful sound. So I get to be like very extreme and wild and fun, which I love.
Yeah. So let's bring in Derek Muhammad, who's also the co-writer of this. What's up, Derek?
What's up, Ray?
So how did you, when you were sitting around, where did this inspiration just kind of come from? Because we said it's loosely based on your life, but did you just kind of say, hey, you know what? Because you really did walk away at the height of your career. So it's kind of like, did you just kind of say, you know what? Let's kind of go back and talk about what happened with me.
Well, you know, one of the things what Karen and I is, as actors in Los Angeles, we was going on a lot of auditions.
Okay.
Sometimes getting callbacks, not getting callbacks. Sometimes getting a role, but the production didn't go through. So we was like, you know what? We should just write our own story.
No,
you know?
We said, damn it. We going to take our own power. We going to write our own story, because I'm the type who, I'm not going to sit back. Especially after I left, let's talk about a little bit before we talk about Gail in the Storm. Going back a little bit, when I did leave the entertainment industry, I got into real estate. I used to buy homes and flip them, make them beautiful, and move every 2 years. So my mindset was business. So when I got back in the entertainment industry 18 years later, I'm seeing this landscape that has changed and makes it so I can connect directly with my fan base. So first of all, knowing that I have a fan base, I'm like, okay, well, shoot, the world is mine. I don't need Warner Brothers. I just have to, you know, cultivate this and do what my audience would want, you know, to see from Karen White. So instead of me playing, you know, I could have played this, you know, bitter woman that, you know, that was eccentric or something. But we wanted to do something that was pretty close to my life. So Derek had the idea to do, you know, something that was loosely based, me playing a singer, but very eccentric, over the top singer, which I love. And we just developed
the story, you know, loosely based on her life and Jay. And we, you know, and added some colorful moments in it. But the beautiful part about this is we shot the movie in 7 days, right? We had a small budget, and we were sticking to that budget.
Super small budget. I mean, when we say micro budget, but it doesn't look like that. But we used our moxie. And
and we found some college students from Morehouse who were in film school, and they won some awards. We vetted them. We like what they done.
We like using young people.
Right.
and their ingenuity.
We used some L.A.-based actors along with some people we thought that could fit the role. So we knew we had locations we can get for free. So we got 7 locations for free, 1-foot discount because I put the lady in the movie.
Now, was that shot here? That,
it was shot in Sacramento because that's where we had the location. I don't think Lalanna would give you no locations for free.
Yeah. Anyway,
I hope they can, but we shot in Sacramento, and we was really, you know, smart about it. And let me tell you about Karen. During the course of shooting this crazy movie, 50 scenes in 7 days, she recorded 6 tracks.
Yeah, it was
8 tracks. 8 tracks. In 2.5 days. Yeah. It was crazy.
I was going to say, so you, in addition to co-writing and executive producing the film, you also have this amazing soundtrack. I think, what, you said 7 to 8 songs?
Yeah.
Let's talk a little bit about the music.
Yeah, the soundtrack. You know, I was inspired by Childish Gambino. And people go, what? Like, yeah, his last album, Awaken My Love. So I'm listening to this music. I'm like, good Lord. I said, I feel like I'm listening to Bootsy, Parliament, Earth, Wind & Fire. I was like, he's such an old soul and he gets like music. So I was like, I miss this kind of music. So I said, you know what? I'm gonna write from this perspective because it moved me when I stay woke. Like Bootsy, I was like, oh. So I started to like, you know, I said, I want to make this character. She used to be in a funk band. And of course, you see, like today with artists, we've abandoned black artists. We invent jazz, ragtime, blues, funk, but we're always abandoning our treasures and we're doing pop now. Everybody's doing the same type of thing. So I was, for me, it's like boring, peanut butter and jelly. Blah, come on, you know, music. We used to be, my era, you know, we had such a variety. You had a Phyllis Hyman, you know, a Gene Carn, a Stephanie Mills, I mean, Tina Turner. Michael Jackson. I mean, it was just such a variety. And so that's what this is. I wanted to do musically. I wanted to go back to that era. And you'll listen to it, you know, Curtis Mayfield, some of the greatest inspirations for soundtracks. You know, we love Superfly and Love Rose Jones, yep. And the Car Wash. So if you listen, you'll see a lot of elements of just that kind of great music in a time of, like I said, the 70s, 80s influence. And it's pretty dope. I did a lot of the writing this time, and I wrote a lot with DOA, who is a great, you know, music. He's working with Kim right now. He did my last album, Carpe Diem. He's on the rise, and he's just a great musician, bass player, guitar player. And my niece, Camille, she helped me with the lyrics. And like I said, we were just, it was a labor. Derek even helped with the lyrics. I put a gun to his head.
Yeah, man.
And I'm like, if you can write a script, you can help me write these lyrics. If we only had a week.
What was it like transitioning from what you knew the entertainment and music industry to be to music and entertainment now? Because that, like you said, you were away for 18 years. A lot can happen in 5 years, but you're talking about almost 2 decades. So what was it like going from that and coming into this new way of doing things?
Okay, well, it would have been really crazy had I not been in it. From, I got back in the entertainment industry with a hip hop, me and a gentleman friend of mine, he was a hip hop artist, and he's like, Karen White, he met me backstage at a concert, and he's like, I'm gonna be the next Kanye, I got a $50 billion plan, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, okay, let me hear it. And so I talked to him, very smart. We came up, we used to be, you know, I was working with him and I was managing him. So I never wanted to come back into the entertainment industry, but I was glad I was able to, as I say, he kind of helped me get my swag back, because I was totally, you know, away. So I really became like this big hip hop fan, you know, so I totally, because I had to be, because he was. So I learned, you know, about everything that's going on. And I just, we also was doing Reality Properties. And so had I not had that, it probably would have been a little bit scarier jumping in. But I really felt like I regained my youth through him and this whole process. And so coming back in, it was kind of like I was, you know, my age range of people were like, whoa, Karen White, you look great. What, you know, I was more like just, you know, swagger on 100. I was on a, I probably was probably more advanced than they were, because like I said, I was totally, you know, when doing what I should have been doing at 40, at 30, I was doing it at 40. So I kind of had a, what do you call that when you have a,
midlife crisis.
Yeah, midlife crisis. But so getting back into the business, it was amazing, because I looked at it for what it was. I wasn't stuck. And a lot of legendary artists, I had this conversation, they don't know what the heck is going on. All they know is they used to be with a label, they did everything, and now they're having to be it all. You know, you have to, you know, be your promoter, be your own label, you know, talk to the fans. You know, you can't afford to not embrace this new world. So I actually had a, you know, coming back in, I embraced it and I see it for the beauty. And that's why I'm taking it on by storm, kicking down the door. Boom, let's go at 51.
Wow. So let me ask you this, what would you say is one of the biggest lessons that you learned throughout this process of going away and then coming back? Because a lot of times we would, you know, you'd see people leave the industry and then you'd see them on these flashback circuits or these, you know, oldie but goodie circuits. And we never saw you. Everyone was like, well, dang, where is Karen White? And then all of a sudden, bam, you just came back. Right. And it was just like, oh, my God, she looks amazing. She hasn't changed. But what was the biggest lesson that you learned walking away and then coming back?
Wow. Walking away, honestly, if I would have known that it would have been this hard coming back, I probably would not have ever done that, because it is, like you said, if you don't have, you know, if you leave the industry for a year, it's like, you know, somebody's right there to take your place. And I'll say this because someone brought this to my attention. You know, it's just when you love something, I just wish I would have been able to. I went through a really dark period in my life, and that's why I stepped away from the business. I didn't realize it was going to turn into 18 years. I wouldn't have let that go. I would have fought harder to hold on to my legacy, because coming back And people don't realize that. They go, when are we going to see you? Why aren't you playing here? I'm like, I'm really starting over. I just have a legendary name. Like Tina Turner says, I got my name. Yeah. You know Karen White. But I'm building, from the bottom up. So I would definitely say, to not take that for granted, when you have that kind of success. So, and I think I kind of took it for granted, getting it so fast. That's one of my complaints to myself that I kick myself in the butt about, because I started out, my first single, was gold and then platinum.
You made history. You were the first female artist to have three consecutive number ones releases, which had never been done before. Not even Janet.
I know. I couldn't believe
that. Nobody. That was you.
Yeah, I never even knew that. And so the thing is that, and I humbly say this, is that I took it for granted, because when you get things fast in your youth, you can tend to think, oh, it's just supposed to happen that way. And so God has a way of humbling you. So coming back, it's tough, but I'm earning those stripes and I feel really good about it. And I want to share my story and I want to empower independent artists, because I really feel like, especially legendary artists that don't know, I want them to say, well, if Karen White can do it, and just like I said, you got to just throw ego out. You can't look at what you did, and I'm just I'm excited about today.
All right. Well, Miss White, thank you so much for being a guest on Upfront today. We so look forward to this project. This is actually going to drop on October the 12th, correct?
Yes. Yeah. Yep. We'll make sure you get a sneak preview. Huh?
Yeah.
Send the link to you.
All right. So you just heard from a beautiful voice of Karen White, as well as Derek Muhammad. And they're talking about her new film, Gail in the Storm, as well as a soundtrack for the film. And you can definitely check out the trailer for this amazing story at WCLK.com.
Thank you so much for listening to today's show. I'd really like to thank all of my special guests, Rashana Ali and Karen White. I would also like to thank my engineer, Mark Angel, and you. Please join us next Saturday, September 23rd at 9 a.m. for another exciting edition of Upfront, inside Atlanta's entertainment industry. Happy Saturday, Atlanta. If you like today's show, please hit us up at WCLK.com. We'd love to hear from you.
Upfront, inside Atlanta's entertainment industry, has been brought to you by Atlanta's Jazz Station, 91.9 FM, WCLK, an NPR member-supported station.